back in the NFL is now joining us. Sage, thank you very much. You're on the postgame show, SB Nation Radio. What do you think of Nick Foles? Where can you begin? I mean, that was just an amazing performance.
It was a great performance, and I sort of call this game and really this year is the year of the backup quarterback, and this Philadelphia Eagles team, obviously, I think the best full team in the NFL, and a lot of people don't really think much about their backup quarterback. But on this team, the backup quarterback led them to the Super Bowl. And, you know, their head coach, Doug Peterson, longtime backup. Frank Reich, for the vast majority of his career, longtime backup as far as the quarterback position. So, very gutsy performance by both Nick Foles and really Doug Peterson. I mean, Doug Peterson kept his foot on the gas all night long, went with his gut, went against the odds, going for it and fourth down multiple times, and it paid off every single time. So, a very gutsy performance by couple backup quarterbacks.
Totally agree. The aggression, I mean, right out of the gate, the Eagles were throwing. They were in the shotgun, and I said that the Eagles have an offense similar to Oklahoma, if you watch college football, where the pass really sets up the run. The Eagles ran the ball well today, I think, because of how successful Nick Foles was at the beginning. But Sage Rosenfeld's with us, former quarterback NFL. Sage, if you are Howie Roseman, general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles, and you get calls from the Broncos or the Jaguars or the Browns, one of these teams that need a quarterback, for Nick Foles, what is the – do you trade? Because I totally agree with what you just said. We have learned this year, if anything, the value of a backup quarterback. Do you trade him? And if you do, what is the value for him?
You know, I don't know what the value is, but I know that this Philadelphia Eagles team was definitely helped by trading Sam Bradford 2 years ago to the Minnesota Vikings in exchange for a first-round draft pick, and I believe a third or fourth rounder as well. So, you know, they got some depth and some better players from that trade of trading a quarterback that they didn't necessarily need at the time. You know, Nick Foles proved this year that he is still a very good quarterback. And you go back to 2013, he throws 27 touchdowns, two interceptions, one of the great years in the history of the NFL in the regular season for quarterbacks. And then he has a couple bad years. You know, if you look back and you go, you know, he also ended up out with the Rams. And, you know, Jeff Fisher does seem like he didn't quite understand quarterbacks all that well. You know, Case Keenum had a really good year this year. Obviously, Jared Goff had a great year as well. So those three quarterbacks right there with tremendous seasons once they leave the Rams, Jeff Fisher as their head coach. And so, you know, I think Nick Foles is a good quarterback. I think he may have been undercoached for a couple of seasons there.
So how important is the system? You played the game. And, I mean, we have seen guys like, I think Matt Flynn is a good example of a guy who left a great system in Green Bay, and he kind of disappeared off the face of the earth. Can we attribute, what do you think is more of an attribution to full success, the system or his skill?
Well, Nick Foles has got the skill. I mean, that guy can really throw it. You know, he not only played tremendous tonight, but played great last week. He's extremely accurate. He throws a beautiful deep ball. And moves around the pocket really well. I mean, he's a good football player, without a doubt. It helps to be in a really good system and coaches that understand offense really well. And I'm a big believer that in football, coaching matters more than any other sport. Yes, you have to have really good players. You can have great players and bad coaches, and you won't be a very good football team. You know, it's very different than, like, the NBA or maybe Major League Baseball. I don't know much about baseball, but I don't think the manager does that much compared to what an NFL head coach does, what offensive defensive coordinators do, of organizing the whole thing, the very small details that end up being really big things. Doug Peterson can coach football. That is an absolute fact. He knows how to hire coaches that coach really good football. So they've got a really good roster and a lot of really good players on this Philadelphia Eagles team, but they also may have one of the best, if not the best, coaching staff in the NFL. I mean, Bill Belichick's a Hall of Fame, probably greatest coach of all time. Doug Peterson is very quickly inching his way up there because he showed a lot tonight in how he outcoached Belichick in this football game.
Without a doubt, definitely outcoached. Sage Rosenfeld, former NFL quarterback, joining us. Have you ever played a game where you threw, I mean, Tom Brady threw for 500 yards tonight, three touchdowns, and lost. Have you ever been in a situation like that when you were quarterbacking where you threw for a ton of yards, yet you lose the game? What is the mindset? How do you recover from something like that, especially in as big of a game as this was?
Well, you know, a lot of times you have to throw for a lot of yards because you're behind, and that's, you know, one issue was, you know, the Patriots were behind tonight, but, you know, Brady was absolutely spectacular. If the defense ended up getting a couple stops there at the end, he's the MVP. He's won his you know, wins another Super Bowl, wins a sixth Super Bowl. But, you know, he couldn't do everything tonight, and he couldn't play defense. And, you know, very, very surprising that the New England defense, which has been very good all year, and really the last about two-thirds of the season, probably the best defense in the NFL all around, in particular, with scoring. And so the way that, you know, they gave up that many yards, you know, that many points, you know, to the Eagles was not Tom Brady's fault. Another legendary performance by him, but at the end of the day, ends up being a loss.
Sage Rosenfels, former NFL quarterback with us. Okay, what needs to happen in the offseason to determine what a catch is? Again, it comes back twice in this game. And I thought the Zach Ertz play, without a doubt, was clearly a touchdown. But we were in a situation where the announcers, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, were even scratching their heads saying, at this point, we don't even know. To me, it was clearly a catch. That there should be no question about it. But what has to happen during this offseason to provide some clarity as to what a catch is?
You know, it's funny. I feel like I'm one of the few people who feel pretty good about this whole catch, non-catch thing. And you know, it is really tough. I mean, football is a game of a lot of bang-bang plays. And obviously the catch or an incomplete pass or a fumble, you know, they all sort of get thrown into one, you know, bang-bang sort of situation. And it's hard to always tell the difference. Tonight, that was an obvious catch. He caught the ball, you know, took a full couple steps, lunged for the end zone. And then to me, that was an easy touchdown. Different than, say, the Dez Bryant play from the playoff game against the Packers a couple years ago. To me, that was in that situation where he didn't quite have full control, you know, as he was going to the ground. So I always say, if you don't get up with the football and hand the ball to the referee, you might as well just assume it's not a catch, and you shouldn't be able to complain if you don't do that. So tonight, I thought that was a catch without a doubt to Zach Ertz. And it was a touchdown and an absolutely huge play in this football game.
Sage, were you at the game or were you watching on TV?
I was at the game, actually. You guys called me. I was in the press area interviewing Brent Celek, and my phone starts ringing as I'm trying to get this interview, and I stepped out. So I'm here. I'm in the bowels of U.S. Bank Stadium. I tell you what, Minneapolis, Minnesota, from unbelievable Super Bowl. Yes, the weather was cold, but it was a first-class Super Bowl in this stadium, U.S. Bank Stadium. I'm really happy that I had a chance to sort of get national attention and world attention. I think it's hands down the best stadium in the NFL, and the whole world got to see it.
30 seconds. How great was Justin Timberlake?
Oh, he was great. I mean, you know, I'm in the way upper deck and everything, right? But still, you know, the performance is great. Obviously, his music, you know, at this point, he's got so many great songs for, you know, well over a decade and a half now. And you have to be living in a cave to not at least know some of those songs. And so, yeah, he always puts on a great performance. He's a triple threat guy. He can sing, he can dance, he can act, he can sort of do it all. And it was a perfect performance in Prince, you know, one of his idols, Prince's, you know, old stomping ground.
Yeah, without a doubt. Sage Rosenfels, former NFL quarterback, thank you very much for taking the time to join us this evening.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I thought the halftime show was great, and I always am curious what it's like from someone there, because there is clearly, you know, they put on some great digital effects for the television audience, at which I thought was great. Again, that the Prince tribute was really, really good. The zoom out showing all the purple outside of the stadium, I thought that was really well done. All right, we'll continue to break this down. I want to talk about this from a Patriots perspective and a Bill Belichick perspective. That is next on SB Nation Radio.